right, we're going to go cruising across Wisconsin some more with Susan Lampert-Smith for a few minutes here on Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Good to have you here on a Friday. We were talking about the, you know, that Susan does a lot of destination stories. And for Up North News, she's done things like, you know, what to do when you're in Viroqua or in Janesville or in Sheboygan. And you get this good slice of life from different businesses, different attractions and things. But there's also other themes to her stories. I know one of them that we're getting a lot of traffic on right now is entitled Seven Iconic Wisconsin Church Supper Foods from Lutefisk to Pierogies. I suppose we're not that unusual, Susan, in that we have foods here that you might not find in other states, or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we're that unusual up here.
Well, no, I mean, I think Wisconsin has some definitely ethnic communities, you know, or neighborhoods in bigger cities. And that's what I really seek out. Like today I'm going to Hillsboro. I'm also going to be doing brewery tours for you coming up soon. And I've heard good things about the Hillsboro Brewery, but Hillsboro is a very Czech community, and they have these festivals where all the Czech ladies make kolaches and all these great bohemian foods that, you know, where else are you going to get that? So those are the suppers I look for, the stuff that, you know, only the grandmas know how to make.
That's true. And it's unfortunate, but yeah, it's those grandmas, they know. In fact, I think I made my mom feel bad recently. I asked for my grandma's recipe for dumplings, and she said she didn't have it, that grandma just made these things in her head. And I thought, well, that's really unfortunate, because there's a lot of good recipes that could be handed down. And you mentioned like corn is going to be a big thing. There's the Loyal Corn Fest. There's all kinds of harvest festivals coming up as well. That any stick out to you that you know you're going to hit or have enjoyed in the past?
Well, you know, another one is, you know, the Native American Wild Rice Festivals. Ricing season starts this month, and that's a really big thing, like on the Mole Lake Reservation. And I think Bad River has a wild rice powwow towards the end of the summer. So, you know, I also try to, you know, if you're driving up north, you see these signs, you know, wild rice at the gas station, and I pull over and get stocked up for the year. But we can go out wild ricing too. You get a permit from the DNR, and I tried it a couple of years ago, and it is so difficult to get it more than a cup of rice. Willing to pay anything not to have to do that again.
Well, you think of the things that we see, and we forget the skill level that it takes, not just wild rice, but, you know, you go try to tap a tree and get, right, you know, the makings of maple syrup. It's not as easy as picking up, you know, a bottle of Mrs. Butterworth's, you know, on the shelf. And, you know, you get to talk to people who do that. One of your recent stories for us, back on the subject of beer, was over at Old World of Wisconsin. They had wanted to demonstrate beer brewing for the longest time, but they only started recently doing it.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I highly recommend it to anyone. And it's kind of an open hearth. I mean, it's very primitive how they're brewing the mash and the wort or whatever that is. But it's how beer making started in the pioneer days in Wisconsin. And what's interesting to me is some of our local, brewers, the craft brewers, have been interested to come there and try things out, because there might be flavors added by these old techniques or old ingredients that would create a whole new beer for them. So they also have days where the commercial breweries come in and try things on this old equipment.
Well, it's a great chance to essentially go back to the future, that, you know, yeah, to get a sense. Your story talked about how, you know, melting pot is probably not the right pun to use in this case, but beer is somewhat universal. But as different ethnicities came to Wisconsin, they brought different ways of brewing beer. So maybe that's part of why Wisconsin is such an iconic beer place, is that there wasn't just one flavor that comes out of this state.
Right. And the guy who's the brewmaster there is super knowledgeable. Like, I didn't know that there's all these Scandinavian beers where they use like pine buds or cedar tips to flavor instead of hops. It kind of gives it that bite, but it's, you know, it's what grew in their climate, and they continued to make that beer here. So
yeah,
that was really interesting.
Susan Lampert-Smith is joining us for this half hour, talking about some of her travels around Wisconsin and different theme stories that she does for us. One that sticks out to me recently is the notion of, you know, the company store. And not necessarily the kind like they had, you know, with coal miners who really couldn't get their stuff anyplace else, but stores that, you know, the company has its own, you know, retail center or outlet. And there might be more around here than you think, Susan. You discovered a few of them for us.
Yeah, I mean, when I started it, I realized suddenly there were way too many. And so I think my list is very meat focused. That must have been what I was in the mood for. But, you know, the Johnsonville Brat store up between Sheboygan and Elkhart Lake is amazing. It's a modern architectural building, and they have just interesting brat history there. I'm from Fort Atkinson, so I'm a big loyalist of Jones Dairy Farm, which they have a store where you can buy, they have a different brat every week, seasonal. I know they had like a St. Patrick's Day one that had corned beef in it. And but they're known for their bacon, their ham, and they have really good deals too. Like you can get the irregularly sliced Canadian bacon and bring home a pile of it. So.
And of course, you know, I've been to the one, the Newski's one in Wittenberg. Yeah. Let's see, a couple that I had not heard of was Grandma Miller's in Hancock.
Yes, that's just like this central Wisconsin thing. There's all these, if you drive through the flat central sands part in Wisconsin, in June, it's just a hive of activity with all the pea harvest going on, and they raise all the fresh peas for the canneries. Well, fresh peas, if you've ever had them, are like eating candy. My grandma, who was a farmer, used to raise cannery peas, and I remember sitting in the field as a little kid and eating them until I got sick. So Grandma Miller's is where you go get a 5-10 pound bag of shelled peas, and they're wonderful, and you can only get them that one time a year.
We were, my wife and I were on a drive. We had the top down on the Jeep. We were driving through Tilden, just west of here in Chippewa Falls. And she saw them working a pea field, and it was all she could do not to get out of a moving vehicle and run towards it. She said they didn't grow a lot of peas in Manitowoc County, but when they did, yeah. And when you could get some, she said the same thing you did. It's candy. It just is.
Yeah, that's my grandma was from Manitowoc, and that their farm was just outside the city. And yep, they always had a cannery crop going.
Oh yeah, in her case, yeah, they were all going to Brilliant for canning. You noted that some things aren't exactly company stores, but they're like food centers, and you singled out Stefano's Slow Food Market in Sheboygan. And again, we get back to that ethnicity of multiple sorts that again bring different types of food to Wisconsin.
Yeah, and it's weird because you associate Sheboygan with Germans, but they've for, I don't know, 30 years had these really great Italian restaurants right downtown, a pizzeria, more upscale one. And then they had a little shop in the back of one of them that had Italian imports, but it was so popular that they expanded it. And you can get, it's, I mean, I can't buy that stuff in Madison, some of the things that are there. So,
yeah. Well, and even in my case, coming from a German and Polish family, but it turned out where I was, you know, my early childhood was in a neighborhood in St. Paul that was Italian. And so I still, you know, whether it's mastacholi or making, you know, to make a ragu from scratch, you know, is very cool because, again, you're exposed to different cultures here in the Midwest, you know, not just the, you know, the people that came with you. I think you were telling me as well that the same goes for like Asian food stores and restaurants that you know, they're concentrated in areas where, again, you can go to and appreciate that you're not just getting your everyday goulash.
Yeah, one place that I just love also in central Wisconsin is Macon Meats. They're between Stevens Point and Wausau. They're run by the Hmong, and they do butchering of a whole bunch of different animals. Like if you're there on a Friday, people come in with a pig and leave with a cooler full of pork. But sure, they make these fantastic sausages that are ginger, garlic, spicy, Asian flavor sausages that I always stop and get them when I'm up there.
Oh my gosh. Moving from the stuff you'd have for dinner to the stuff afterwards, it turned out as well around Easter time. You shared with us a story about how, you know, the Easter Bunny has plenty of competition. Wisconsin has some candy shops that go back a long way. I mean, I guess I didn't think of Wisconsin as a hub of old candy makers, but they're still around.
Well, yeah, and especially in the Fox River Valley, and I'm not quite sure why that is, but that whole area from Green Bay down through Oshkosh and Fond du Lac has a whole bunch of small family-run chocolate makers that are just, you know, people, they mail home for that, or they go there before the holidays to get stock up on their chocolates from those places.
Yeah, yep, and yeah, we list several of them in the article throughout the state that that you can look for. And but it's not all just food. Some of your stories have been, you know, about nature as well. You've done one for us already this spring about, you know, field trips put on by the Natural Resources Foundation. You've got another similar story in the works about how people throughout Wisconsin can appreciate the nature that's around them.
Yeah, some of these programs are through the DNR, and others are run by the counties or organizations that are trying to promote, for example, bats in Wisconsin. But you can become a volunteer dragonfly monitor and keep track of all the dragonflies on your lake and what species are there and how many you see. And all of that feeds into a network of people that are concerned about different species that are either in danger or they're trying to bring them back. So there were a lot of neat opportunities. And another weird one I came across is you can enter a contest to name Wisconsin's newest lake. There's a lake up by the Wisconsin River near Sauk City that was created, I guess, about 30 years ago. They dug a pit for a road project. And because it's in a sandy area, it all filled in with groundwater. And then it gets floods from the river occasionally, so fish have populated it. It's just a beautiful little gem, and it doesn't have a name. It's been called the Barrow Pit. And so the Friends of the Lower Wisconsin River are having a naming contest, and you could win $100 and be the person who named Wisconsin's newest lake.
How great is that? I mean,
I know.
And you know, and when you mentioned the fish, I think of, you know, one of the other theme stories you did for us was for the fishing opener. And everybody, you know, thinks of the governor's fishing opener, which is on a different lake every year. And that's fine. But there are plenty of communities that, you know, have their own little festivals. You don't have to fish to enjoy the fishing opener.
Right. Right. In fact, another one of the bohemian communities in Wisconsin is Castle Rock, way out in northern Grant County. And that area is known for trout streams, and they have a big trout breakfast at one of the churches every year.
That's amazing. There's so much more that we're going to talk about and see and do that we can do thanks to the writings of Susan Lampert-Smith. And it is just such a nice pleasure to talk to you. Hope you have a great weekend. Safe travels, and we'll visit again soon.
Too.
Yeah. All right. Take care, Susan. Thanks.
Thanks.
We'll take this break right now, and then more headlines. You're up north.